Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I think I need to talk to her about how serious she is before I really decide how I feel. Because if I decide, I mean, honestly, I'm thinking about it a little bit. I'm not angry. It appears to be a game, but it might not be. I don't know. Throwing my clothes out, taking my stuff out, taking everything. My clothes from the dresser, my books. Looks like a lot of books. I didn't know I read that much. My nightstand, room stuff, and then fragile stuff. I don't know why, but I'm ambivalent. I almost don't care.
Was, I guess, the finale of Sister Wives season 16. What a great ending for us all, Christine especially. Join with me is host of Feathers in My Hair, Liz Bentley. Hello.
Hi, Kara.
Oh, wow, what a journey it's been.
On one hand, I like am hating that the season's over so soon, although apparently, let me say what I'm going to say first. I'm hating that the season's over so soon, but the short seasons are serving them well, like content-wise. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good choice, but then I saw that the tell-all thing, the sit-down interview, is going to be 3 parts, and I was like, why? For what?
I knew that would piss you off. I knew it.
2 is max. 3?
3 is really doing a lot. I'm not even sure that 90 Day Fiancé doesn't often go into 3-part territory.
That's like a lot of content.
It's a lot of content, and it must be good, do you think?
Question mark. I hope. I mean, the clips looked good, and I will say one thing that I will give Sister Wives credit for this season is that overall their previews have been pretty non-clickbaity.
I agree. I hate a fake out. It's one of my reality TV pet peeves. Like, mm-hmm. I hate it. I hate when they preview something and coming up, and then that thing is like you said, like a total fake out. I do not like that. And you're right. They've been very good about that.
The one major one was obviously, what does the nanny do? Which was not her asking, what does the nanny do? The other one is, I personally think they edited in Janelle telling Cody to fuck off. I think that was not done at that moment.
Interesting.
Because her back is turned to the screen and nobody reacts to it.
You did bring that up. Okay. I'd be willing to take that red pill.
Only because, like, on Teen Mom, they always, like, that's how you can tell when they're not on screen if they're talking. It's, like, almost always ADR'd. Like, if I can't see their lips moving, like, I'm like, trust no bitch.
True. Okay. I'll take that.
But in the context of the episode, it happened the way that they showed it in the preview. So, like, true. Point for them.
True. So, how would you compare, how would you give this season? What grade would you give the season?
B plus to an A? Like, was this the best season of Sister Wives?
Maybe.
Like, the fact that almost every single episode had a storyline, I somehow did not feel like we were repeating COVID storylines, which I was worried going into, right? Like, I was like, how are we still going to be in, like, October of 2020? We just watched an entire COVID season. I don't know, like, if content-wise I can handle that. But it really did not feel repetitive. The short season, like, really lent itself to a lot of episodes, like, stuff happening in the episodes. I really think this might have been one of their best seasons.
Yeah, honestly, I think it may be the best, now that you bring it up. Wow, I mean, God bless this family and their dysfunction. I've been thinking about this, and I'm like, how did we not see the signs? And I think we all knew that Cody was a dope.
Well, I think I saw the signs, but only because I hate watch everything.
Okay.
I hate everybody on reality TV always. So, like, and also because I was already obsessed with FLDS and polygamy when this show came out, and, like, had already decided, like, it is literally impossible for there to be a non-abusive patriarchal polygamy situation. So, like, from jump, I was like, this is fucking unhealthy. But I think Cody just, like, is too tired to mask now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Excuse me, guys. It's almost like a, you know, the rat's leaving the ship. Like, he's just, like, going so scorched earth. And I don't even think he hears himself. Mm-hmm. And it's a fascinating watch.
He doesn't hear himself at all. I texted you this today, and I was like, I know we're recapping the last episode, and this happened two episodes ago, but because I like to watch, like, multiple episodes of Sister Wives at once, and so I was watching both of them, and I was like, wow, I can't believe Cody just said that his regret is that he wasn't controlling enough. Like, but then, like, it's insane in the context of healthy people, right? But then I'm like, well, I have been ruminating today on this idea that I kind of think that he's right, and that the failure of Sister Wives is that they're trying to live a fundamentalist lifestyle in a worldly normal way, and it does not work. It doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and I hope people don't, like, misinterpret what you're saying and think that it's, like,
I think all religious patriarchal polygamy is inherently abusive and toxic and cruel, and it hurts women and children. I'm not anti-polyamory, to be clear. Religious fundamentalist patriarchal polygamy, like the Browns practice. And you cannot have that without a strong fundamentalist patriarchal lifestyle, and without that community, and without, like, the really restrictive community. That there's a reason religious people all live together, and it's because they all keep each other in check, right? Like, they all, so, like, not having this community, not having this, like, this fundamentalist lifestyle and living as worldly people, I think is the downfall. And as far as the family staying together, I think the family has always been in a downfall. I think they've always been toxic and unhappy. But I think without the pressure of the community, they're like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. And I've mentioned this a couple of times. I was doing research for House of Gucci, and this thing has been sticking with me.
That is such a funny sentence. I'm sorry.
Like, God bless my life. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm able to say these with no hint of irony whatsoever. But When I was doing research for House of Gucci, there was a quote that was like, the first generation establishes, and then the second generation expands it, and then the third generation destroys. And I think you brought up a great point in one of your episodes, that you believe that a lot of the reason why Christine is able to like get out of this and think like, oh, I need to be more independent, is that she saw the love that her daughters got out of their marriages and the respect and the passion and the romance. And she was like, oh shit, like I deserve to have that too.
Girl, she said Tony and McKelty have the best communication she's ever seen. Like she was in crisis. Like she, when she said that, I was like, things have gone wrong.
I totally agree. And it really painted a picture because I was like, how did she start to like him so much? Because she really didn't in the beginning.
Oh, hated him. They all did, except all of them hated him.
Yeah, they all hated him. But it just like it took such a hard pivot. And I'm like, oh, it's because she sees that he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
And that they can like talk to each other.
Yeah. I also think that like Christine has been on, I mean, how long have Cody and Robin been married? Like 11 years. So I think Christine has been on an 11-year trajectory for leaving. I think as third wife, Christine was in a very comfortable position. I'm not going to say happy because like suddenly she's like, I was the basement wife. I fucking hated my life the whole time. Right. Like that's her new thing, which I think is honest. I think she's finally being honest is what's going on. But I think that Christine was the obedient wife, the compliant wife. She did what Cody told her. And I think every day she was like, well, Cody is who he is. Because it's not like he treated Mary or Janelle well either. Right? So, like, it's not like she was turning around and was like, well, fuck you. Like, you're treating Janelle this way. Why aren't you treating me this way? Cody was just such an asshole to all three of them that I think Christine has been on her way out since she realized Cody loved Robin and loved her deeply. They showed that clip again in this episode where Christine says she didn't know she could be jealous. And I was like, yeah, because you were like the favorite or you were all equally hated by Cody and equally disrespected. And the reason that you're jealous is because for the first time you're realizing that your husband, if he wants to, can treat someone with respect.
Right. And I think also like we have to think about the dynamics of their relationship. Like he and Mary had whatever, like clearly they had a sexual relationship at one point, but that wasn't intimidating to Christine and same with Janelle. Mm-hmm. But like he had a cerebral intellectual relationship with Janelle and it's like Christine was like the golden retriever, like the cute one, the bubbly one, the one you could have fun with. And like I think she probably didn't notice how shallow that all was until he had something real. Now I mean, I challenge you on something because you are really you seem to really believe that Cody loves Robin, but I think he just like I really think it's down to obedience for him, and I don't think that Cody really will ever know what love is. I think
I've seen that argued and I think it's a fair argument. I don't necessarily believe it. I think Cody and Robin click. Like when he came home from the funeral and like the way they embraced each other, I was like, he loves her. Like I really do think, but I think it's a narcissistic love. Yeah. Like I don't think it's like a pure, pure love, but I think that Robin and Cody have, as he said, an emotional intimacy he never knew before. That's how he describes Robin in his book. If I was one of his wives, I would kill myself if I read that. Like imagine your husband of 20 years being like, I've never known emotional intimacy. I would jump off a fucking cliff. Like, are you kidding me?
I'd be right behind you.
Like, it's the worst. So I genuinely think he clicks and has a relationship with Robin that he does not. But I think he's an abuser and a narcissist. So, like, I agree that he doesn't know true love, but I think that whatever he has going on with Robin is his purest form of it.
Yeah, I agree. As long as we're both on the same page that Robin ultimately is never really going to be satisfied by Cody, I'll accept.
No, she's not. And I think she's fucking miserable right now.
Oh,
like when she's crying, she's miserable. She's not necessarily miserable because of the destruction of the family, but she's got what she wanted and it fucking sucks.
And it sucks, which is why she tried to pawn Janelle off, or Cody off on Janelle the other day.
She's like, this sucks. Like Cody sucks. I think that, like, I mean, how about that speech he gave when he was like, when Robin came into the family, she sat her children down and said, you will respect him as the father. And I was like, that, I cannot believe this man just said that out loud.
Right. Like, it's
psychotic.
It truly is. And the fact that he, like, and like, he had a proverbial hard on when he said that. Like, he was so, he thought that was the hottest thing.
Yeah.
Like, you could not have told him something better.
Here's the other thing. Like, when Gabe and Cody are talking and Gabe is realizing what a monster Cody is, and he keeps repeating, I thought this was Robin's fault, but it's you. Mm-hmm. Like, that told, like, here's the thing. I know everybody fucking hates Robin, but if you notice, like, they don't talk about Robin in a negative way, really. But they talk about Cody in a really negative way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All, like, of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really, I mean, they obviously don't really have a relationship with Robin. So I think
like, some of the older kids do, not Janelle's kids so much.
Right. And I'm assuming Christine's either.
Well, McKelty and Aspen are close with Robin. When McKelty gave birth, Robin was on FaceTime the whole time.
What?
Yeah. And okay. When Aspen was like trying not to be a sister mom, because that's also my new thing that we're not talking enough about with the role Aspen had to play. I don't think it's coincidental that Aspen doesn't have children yet. But Aspen lived with Robin for a period of time.
Also true.
So, like, I think they do have her. I think we just don't see it. I think the older kid stuff is so hard because we see so little of them.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Oh, me too. But, like, I just found that, like, Gabe being, like, he said at least 2 or 3 times, like, I thought it was Robin's fault, but it's you.
Mm-hmm. And
I was like, yeah, Cody's a monster.
Yeah, like, when Garrison was just like, I gotta go, that really killed me. Oh, my God. Okay, so let's talk about the finale.
Yeah.
The episode begins with Janelle saying that, like, now they're able to test freely, so Ariella has demanded that everybody get together for her birthday.
Okay.
And, yeah.
We need to... I cannot believe they haven't been testing for filming.
I can, because Arizona.
Yeah, and because they were filming outside, and I, like, Teen Mom, they were testing the children 3 to 4 mm-hmm. times a week. The babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The infants were being tested 3 times a week, and none of these adults were getting tested ever? Are you fucking kidding me?
No, yeah, I truly couldn't believe, and they were like, no, we've never been tested for. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Ever? How is it possible?
It's crazy. Like, you guys are filming. It's really fucked up for the crew. Somebody tweeted me that they probably have a non-union crew and it's Arizona. And it's just like, that's fucked up for the crew. Even if they are only filming outside. I don't like that.
No, it's so unfair. And it's so, like, you know, like, let's not even get into it. But let's not, because I would really rant about it. But so shocking. Christine goes through a drive-through test with her girls, mm-hmm. and Christine says, yeah, the testing is going to make things a lot easier, but it's not, like, really emotionally, because this doesn't fix anything.
She's like, because I've already left Cody.
Yeah. Because I hate this man. His boxes are already cooling in the garage. So, you know, there we go. Cody says that he's happy they all got together because Ariella deserves the attention. The fact that this man is making me feel like not aggressive, but like, just like rolling my eyes about a child. Like,
it's so fucked up. He doesn't hear himself talk. It's remarkable that someone could be on television for 11 plus years and not have any sense of how their words will come out.
None.
Because I think, on the other hand, Robin is, like, very aware, and I feel like she watches those scenes and, like, full body cringes.
Oh, she's, like, got one of those grippy things that you get from the airport in one of her hands. Like, she's those balls that you,
the
like
stress ball.
She's
very 90s.
And, you know, she's got several, probably tried to start a line with my sister wife's closet, but she She's, yeah, I truly cannot believe he said so many things that, like, I just feel like I can't even. He's happy that the family got together, but he's still feeling some type of way because of the older kids, and they ruined his holiday season, as if anybody gives a fuck. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Also, Cody famously hates Christmas, and before Robin came into the family, he said we were no longer celebrating Christmas.
Right. Somebody brought that up. Whoever tweeted at me, shout out to you. I was like, oh my God, he's been trying to cancel Christmas since they got on television.
And Robin was like, no, we're doing Christmas. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Crazy. Oh my God. So then he says in an interview that, like, maybe some of the frustration from the other family members is resulting from, I don't know, him not being at Isabel's surgery or not ever going to Janelle's house or, you know, all the other abandonment issues that have been going on. But now that he's having this experience with Ariella, he's realizing that his job is to protect her. And that the older kids need to start realizing that his world doesn't revolve around them once they're adults. And that his obligation is to his minor children and the children who decided to keep the rules.
Poor little so, Truly is somewhere like, daddy?
Quick question, sir.
Are you going to come over and hang out in the backyard with me and not hug me?
Like, what the fuck?
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. And he's so, like, I have been thinking a lot today about how COVID is just exposing that it is unsustainable to be a parent to 19 children.
Totally.
Or 18. I think they have eight. I looked up. I think there are 18 kids. And, like, I think that this has always been the issue, and COVID is just showing the reality that, especially, like, in his older age, like, he's not, like, a million years old, but Cody's, like, 55 now, I think. Like, he's getting tired. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why you don't have 19 children for one parent.
Right. All these things are going to happen all the time. Like,
and they've been happening because he doesn't fucking know Truly. And COVID's only been going on for a year at this point in this show. And Truly's right. 10 years old.
Right. Like, why is she? I mean, the fact that he does not see how he is directly punishing Christine's kids because he doesn't fuck with Christine anymore. Like, it's sick.
So sick. But it's also very, I mean, it's just true to polygamy, right? Like, that is what it is. And that's why this system is so fucking sick.
Yeah. Yeah. And Janelle makes a great point by saying, like, we've never pushed our kids out when they turned 18 before, but now that it doesn't suit Cody, he wants to push them out the door. And, like, it doesn't even compute for me because there are adult children at Robin's home.
Janelle's real bitter about those adult kids.
And every fucking episode, she's like, those kids that are at home and not leaving the non-independent adults.
Yeah. She's like, you know, they're not getting kicked out because they're obeying the rules. And Cody, I wanted to ask you this. Cody claims that he spoke to Robin's kids about abiding by the rules or having to figure out another living arrangement.
Never. Robin would knife him. Are you kidding me?
This would never happen.
First of all, I don't like to speculate too much about this because we truly don't know. But, like, Dayton he's on the spectrum. Like, we don't know if Dayton physically can live on his own, right? Like, there's a possibility he cannot live independently. So, and Robin has talked about, like, that she will always need a house with, like, two master bedrooms so that Dayton can always have, like, I think the plan has always been for Dayton to live with her the rest of her life, which makes total sense, right? She's a child with a disability. But there's no way he sat down Aurora and was like, hey girly, like, you want to see your friends and you're gonna have to go figure out somewhere to live. You're 19 years old and, like, not independent in any way, shape, or form. Like, get out of here, Cody.
Not a chance. He probably, like, went to the garage and thought about it and then went back into the house and, like, felt bad for Robin. So don't even play with me, boy. Even play with me. Come on.
No, it's a crazy thing to say. And also, I think, like, I don't know. I think there are issues going on in Robin's house. Shit's not going right in Robin's house. And I don't know quite what it is, but, like, things are not going right with the kids.
She's an alarmist. That's the problem.
She's
anxieties on the children, and yes. I don't know why she doesn't see this. We all see it.
She for sure does, but I also like, I also think it's important to remember, like, these kids, I think, have issues. They had an abusive father who willingly signed over the rights to them so that he wouldn't have to pay child support anymore, who was later arrested for domestic assault. Like, their father is a bad person. They are ripped away from him, regardless of if he's abusive or not. That's so traumatic. Then this man pops up, and on the second day, Robin's like, call him daddy. You will respect him as your father. Getting fucking pictures drawn erasing their father, literally erasing their father from their childhood pictures to add to impose Cody onto them. Like, yeah. I think these kids have had a lot of trauma, and I feel a lot of empathy for, I mean, I think all the Brown kids have had a lot of trauma, but I feel a lot of empathy for the Jessup kids.
Well, yeah. And like, think of the pressure that they must feel to be the model children, the one that like receive Cody's love, the one that like,
Brown kids bullied the shit out of them when they came into the family.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, they came to this family where I don't think rules were that big with the Brown kids. And I think that they, like, beat each other up a lot and were, like, really aggressive. And, like, I'm sure at Robin's house, they, like, never even pushed each other. And then, like, Dayton's getting knocked in the face by Peyton. Like,
it's wild.
God. It's so fucked up.
So everybody goes to Ariella's birthday party, and we find out that they have this tradition that's actually pretty cute, where if it's somebody's birthday, everybody goes around and like toasts them, compliments them, says what they love about them, whatever. So when it gets to Christine's turn, she starts to blush, and Ariella calls it out immediately. And I only really want to talk about this because did you see how hard Janelle was laughing and getting roasted? She was having a fucking ball. I've never seen her laugh harder.
I know. She was really like, it was actually like a funny moment. It was probably one of the only like lighthearted moments of the last five seasons. Since I moved from Vegas.
She was having a real blast. Everybody's like being forced to eat or pretend to eat fake foods that Ariella's giving them. And Cody makes a comment about how Ariella is a social lubricant of the family.
It's a lot of pressure to put on. Like, it's a lot of pressure to put on a 5-year-old anyway.
It is. And it's gross. So all the wives are talking about like how great this is that they are getting together and how they should definitely do it again very soon. Except live via satellite comes Robin telling us that she got the call from her nanny, and her husband has it and the nanny have it, and this is happening a day after that party where everybody came to her house. So
so I want to say a lot of the comments online I felt like were kind of taking what Robin said out of context, but like, she's right that like, this is why you don't have large gatherings, because you can be exposed at any moment and not know. And like, I definitely was laughing when Janelle and Christine were like, yeah, we're glad it's the nanny that did it. Like, we're glad. I was like, yeah, that is right. But I also, like, I get Robin's perspective where it's frustrating when you feel like you're doing all the right things and you're still the one that gets it. Where, like, Christine, who declares later that they're not irresponsible because she didn't get it. I thought that was wild, by the way, when she said that. I was like, But, like, it's very funny that it came from the nanny. But also, like,
it is,
not to be, like, too earnest, but, like, that is, like, that really reminded me of, like, that 3 weeks before Delta when we were all vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. We were like, remember?
We're like, let's plan vacations. Shit's turning around. And then Delta comes. And, like, that's some real shit.
For real. Very sobering. I will say that my issue with Robin in this is, and Cody, is that they're both like, we don't know how this could have happened.
Yeah.
We trust the nanny and the husband implicitly. And I'm just like, why? Why do you trust them implicitly? Why are they being given all of this grace that the other family members aren't? I it just seems rude and weird that he would be so openly distrusting of his own family members and so trusting of this random person.
Exactly. I mean, it says everything. Like, he does not trust his wives or children.
Yeah.
And I get part of it because Christine was doing whatever the fuck she wanted to do. Like, she can sit there and be like, when I'm in Arizona, I follow the CDC guidelines, and it's all bullshit. Like, she literally was like, I like to go to Utah because in Utah, COVID doesn't exist, basically.
Like, yeah.
Like, I get why he feels that way, but you're right. It's the openness of it and, like, truly throwing in their face the nanny of it all.
Right. Right. Ugh. I don't even want to get into, like, the saliva test that they had to do because
I will kill myself if we talk about that live on air. Like, we have to move past that.
I thank you. I'm grateful too. I don't like to see, that was my top complaint about Cheer, is there were so many nasal tests. I can't watch people do that. I can't.
We get it.
I can't. But it was funny that Cody, what happened to Cody happened. And I will just say that was funny. He deserved that. He fully deserved that. So then we get the scene of Christine filming in her bedroom. Dun, dun, dun. She is, like, clearly in the moment upset. This isn't like I've been thinking about it. It seems like she was like, oh, I'm feeling all these emotions. Let me roll tape.
Which, like, raw. Give Christine a bonus for that.
Right. Sign the check, please. So she says that there is a fine line between saying too much and not having a voice, and she doesn't know what to say. And then she starts telling us about how the week before, Cody came over to put up a door in her, like, bedroom suite area. So part of it's a bedroom, part of it is for her LuLaRoe stuff. And as he's putting up this door, Cody keeps mentioning over and over how this is going to keep the cat away from the inventory. And Christine's like, yeah, that's a good idea. But for some reason, she thinks that there's more to this conversation. So after he finishes putting the door up, she's like, okay, is this about the cat or is this about our lack of intimacy? And at that point, Cody says that he wants to cut off intimacy. He does not want to be intimate with Christine anymore. And then she says that Cody told her he didn't like her behavior and that they'll just see if she can be a good sister wife. It's like he's sending her off to the colonies and, like, yeah, like, just taking her sexuality away from her and is like, well, we'll just see what we can do for you, kid. Good luck.
It's so abusive. It's so fucked up. This happens all of the time in the FLDS, where that's, like, how a man punishes a wife, is that mm-hmm. he stops sleeping with her, because in polygamy, that's the only capital that you have is sex with your husband, essentially. Mm-hmm. And, like, how many children you can have. It's so cruel to Christine, who obviously her love language is physical touch.
Mm-hmm. Like, always. It's very apparent.
It's very apparent in words of affirmation. Like, she's a lovey-dovey person. And, like, obviously he's talking about sex, but intimacy, as we all know, goes way further than that. She's seen what he's done to Mary. Like, she's seen it with her own eyes. And the fact that he's framing it as, like, when you can be a good sister wife is so sick and deranged. And, like, what is that even? I mean, I guess it means, like, because I don't think she's being mean to Robin. It doesn't mean anything. Like, I've seen some people speculate, like, he means when you're nice to Robin. But I don't think it's that, because I don't think Christine is mean to Robin. I think he just doesn't want to own up that he just doesn't want to be with her anymore. So he won't say it out loud. He comes up with these insane things instead.
Mm-hmm. Totally. He's truly a sick person. I cannot believe that you would just, like, with no, like, nothing, no affect, like, totally so flat, cool. He will say that and then just be like, to think that she would just be like, okay. Well, I mean, he does say a couple times, like, yeah, our relationship's been shitty for a really long time, so maybe I didn't take this very seriously because it's happened before. But, like, also, fuck you. Like, truly, go choke.
I mean, he thinks he can do it because he has. He effectively did it to Mary. And he doesn't think Christine is strong enough to leave him. I mean, but at the same time, like, I think he did this because he thinks, like, part of me thinks that he did it because he thinks Kirstine is strong enough to leave him. And he was ready for Kirstine to leave because he straight up said last season he will not leave any of his wives. Mm-hmm. He will not do it. It has to be their choice. But he knows, like, he knows what Kirstine needs in a relationship. And I think that that was him being like, get out of my fucking, like, I want you to leave.
Yeah.
But he just won't say it.
People who, yeah, will just push you into a decision and then play the victim when they leave.
Yeah. What I love how he's like, Kirstine, really, you dropped a bombshell in our relationship. I'm like, you told her a week ago you don't want to fuck her anymore. Get out of here.
Right. I can't believe it.
It's so mean. It's such a mean, like, it is so heartless the way that he did this. Like, he's such a coward. He's such an asshole. Like, he could, they should have fucking, like, if he doesn't want to be with Kirstine anymore, call up therapist Nancy or whatever her name is. Isn't it Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
Drive to Vegas and tell her in the therapist's office that you don't want to be with her anymore. Like, to do it in this way where you're like, I will no longer sleep with you is such a level of cruelty that, like, it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around. It's so abusive and it's so different than just being like, I need a divorce.
Yeah, and it's almost worse that he, like, did something for her right before that, you know? It's like, get the fuck out of my house. I don't know. Something about that is, like, even more cruel. And for him to just say, like, I wish the producers had asked him, why this moment? You know,
yeah.
Like, what happened? What happened for you? What were you feeling in that moment that you decided to say this to her? Because I would really like to know.
I guess it's just that Kirstine, like, finally brought it up, would be my guess. Like, she didn't bring that up specifically, but she was like, we have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Like, I need you to talk about this. And I think that because he wants this all to be Kirstine's fault and not his fault, he would say, well, Kirstine pushed me to talk about why I wasn't happy and what I wanted from the relationship.
Right.
So mean. It's just so, like, it's so abusive that he would do that. And, like, he, I don't know, just something about, like, withholding sex seems so depraved in a way that simply being like, I just don't want to be with you anymore. Like,
hey,
like, to not, it's like keeping somebody in, like, like, purgatory is what he's wanting to do. So in the Jewish religion, like, in, but, like, Orthodoxy, a man has to give a get, which is a divorce. And there's, like, this whole issue of men refusing to give women gets, and, like, they basically just, like, live in this purgatory of, like, never being able to remarry. It's, like, so awful and it's so abusive and it's so cruel. And I feel like that's what Cody's doing when he's saying, like, well, I don't want to be intimate with you anymore. He's like, I still want you to be bound by the shackles of this relationship, but I will give you absolutely no love or affection or life.
Right. And he talks about this later, and I'm really going to go off on him. But so Kirstine says that marriage, that kind of marriage is not enough for her. And he's like, well, I know a bunch of couples that have cut off intimacy and they're totally fine. And then basically she went to bed. He slept in, I guess, the other part of the bedroom.
Made his breakfast. I'm surprised he stayed the night there.
Yeah. Made his breakfast and left. And Kirstine's like, I don't know what to do right now, but I don't have any interest in having a marriage without intimacy. And, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, watch him with his other wives and I just have nothing for the rest of my life? Like, honestly, fuck him.
So fucked up. Ugh.
So I surmise that they must not have had sex since before their last anniversary. Because she said that after their anniversary where they went off to the mountains, that they just went to bed. And that a while ago, Cody told her that he wasn't attracted to her. And she's like, I'm not stupid, but I just thought that maybe things would get better. And then she's like, you know, I'm not interested in having a half or partial marriage. And now she's like, is this all because of my behavior? Like, really?
Yeah, I bet you're right. I mean, Kirstine basically admitted that she essentially left him after that anniversary, right? Like,
she was like,
we'll never have an anniversary like this again. I'm like, so that was the day you were done. Okay, good to know. Yep. And I think that you're right. I think it's not,
as weird to think that they haven't slept together in over a year when you realize that he's probably only spent 8 nights there in a year. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's weird, of course. And he, but like, it's easier when you remember, like, he doesn't go to Christine's house anymore. So it's not like they were sleeping in the same bed every single night, not having sex. Like, I think that they just were not, he was not going around her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was saying, like, he would just be on his phone and go to bed and then basically be gone before she woke up. So
now here's the thing. Do you think Cody thought Christine would say this all on camera?
No.
I agree, but also at the same time, he essentially said this to Mary on camera last season. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't seem ashamed of this behavior. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, part of me is like, I don't think he thought Christine would lay it out there like she did. But like, he straight up said on camera to Mary, like, don't try to kiss me. Like, I don't want anything to do with you physically. So he's obviously, he obviously thinks that this behavior is acceptable.
But I also think that he feels like it's acceptable with Mary because
she cheated.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right. Because he...
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true because she did cheat. Like, by the way, I love that, like, Mary still, like, won't admit that. Like, I get why she did it, but, like, she did it.
Every time she brings up, you know, that thing that happened.
What, when you had phone sex? Going through a hard time. Man, quotes.
Oh, my God. It really, like, it sets off the oxytocin in my body, I have to admit. It's really so fun for me. I don't think that he thought... He also thinks is... He obviously doesn't feel like Christine is strong. And because he repeatedly says, like, she said this thing to me to my face, and I just don't believe her. You know? Like, he just doesn't seem to think that she has a spine. So... Yeah. I think he probably was pretty comforted in the fact that he assumed that she would not say anything.
I can't, because, like, on one hand, I'm like, I think he wanted her to still be there and to punish her. And then on the other hand, I'm like, I genuinely think he wanted her to leave and wanted her to be strong enough to leave him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't fucking like her and doesn't want her around.
Not at all. Not at all. And, like, the bits of Christine, new Christine, that we've seen, he would hate her.
Yeah. Yeah. He liked her as the golden retriever.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, she looks so pretty in that purple top. It's a really nice look on her.
It's a pretty color. I think she's really taking care of her hair these days.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. What a difference. She got a Dyson Air wrap.
And it shows. And it shows. So then we get footage of Cody, and he says that he was at Christine's house playing outside with Truly and the other one, and Christine asked him to have a talk, and he says that she dropped this completely unexpected bomb and that it was unexpected because they basically had trouble for the past 12 years. So roll the hall of shame.
That was hard to watch.
It was rough. It was real rough because Christine was really like, I hate it. I'm jealous. I don't like this. I'm miserable.
Yeah, when she straight up was like, I am miserable, I was like, I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I remembered, but, like, seeing it all like that, I'm like, they have had a bad relationship for 12 years.
For a long time.
I mean, and really for 30 years. Let's be real.
Let's be real. I mean, you often say that, like, the whole family didn't implode because of Robin, but Christine imploded because of Robin, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's true, that Christine imploded because of Robin, which, like, makes sense, right? She had her position.
Yeah.
And she didn't. And, like, that is really hard to deal with. Like, it's also, like, here's the thing. It's not a coincidence that the wife that Cody loves the most is the one that he met in his 40s and dated for a year before they got married. It's right. Almost like, and now this is, stick with me, because this is a really wild concept, that marrying a 20-year-old that you've courted for 2 weeks and didn't know before that doesn't work well.
Hmm. I wonder if anybody's considered that.
Like, I know this is hard to believe, but... Cody's never been into Christine. In the book, he tells this horrific story about watching on their honeymoon, watching her eat nachos from a gas station and being disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
Cody just, I think he was never physically into Christine, but she just, like, worked as his third wife. And so it was fine.
Yeah. Because she wanted it.
Yeah. And until she didn't.
The only one interested. Let's be real.
Imagine, like, spending 30 years of your life, like, thinking Cody Brown is the best you can do. That's depressing.
Even 5 minutes, you know?
Even five minutes.
So the bomb, allegedly, that Christine dropped on Cody was that she's basically like, if we're not going to be fucking, get the fuck out of my bedroom. Like, we're not going to be sharing a bed.
Yeah, and, of course.
Yeah, because her bed is such a place. Her bedroom is a special place for her. And if you're not going to be adding anything special to the equation, then you don't need to be in there, sir.
Which, by the way, like, did Cody think he was still going to be coming over to Christine's house and sleeping there? I don't get it.
Yeah, because he wanted to keep up the illusion of being, like, a good husband.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Why would he want to do that?
Because he's... appearances are everything because he's sick, he's an unwell person. He verbatim says, she told me I'm not welcome in her room, but I can come visit the kids, and I'm not sure if this is a phase or an awakening. Why don't you stop being weird? Can you stop being weird for 1 second?
No, he can't. He truly cannot.
I need a break.
He's a weird man.
Oh my gosh. So the producers, thank God, ask Cody, why do you think this might be a phase, when she said what she said pretty clearly? And he's like, well, it's because Christine's been telling the other wives and children that she's going to leave me for years now. And he spit this into, I am not sleeping with her. The reason why I'm not sleeping with Christine is because she's been saying that she's leaving me, and I'm betrayed by that.
It's so a lot. Like, I personally believe that the other wives and children have been telling him, but probably in, like, you need to stop being such a dick to Christine or she's going to leave.
Yeah.
Also, like, she's been saying it on TV for 3 years. Like,
right. I don't doubt for 1 second that she's told him this to his face quite a few times.
Like, I believe that, but it's like, Cody, that's not a betrayal. It's that you're treating your wife poorly and she's reacting to your behavior.
Right. And, like, why don't you ask her about, I mean, I've been saying.
Yeah. Hey, girl. I talked to Janelle today and she said you might leave me. Is that true? I think we should go talk to therapist Nancy about this, because that's bad.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Is divorce on the table? If so, like, should we work on that?
Yeah. If you heard from your children that your wife wanted to dump you, you wouldn't ask her about, like, what?
It's so weird.
On what planet?
That this show should just be called, Adults Who Refuse to Have a Conversation with One Another.
Just ask her. I don't know.
I've long been advocating that they need a Jewish or Italian wife to come and clap in Cody's face and say, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh my gosh. Cody has the audacity to say that he's sitting here dumbfounded. And then he asks himself, why am I surprised? I don't know, Cody. Why are you? Why
are you? We're all curious. We're all curious. You just told your wife you would not fuck her anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So then
he by the way, yeah. When Christina's like, I can't have like a half a marriage. I'm like, you already have a quarter of a marriage. That's at its best.
Yeah.
Like when you are at your best with Cody, it's only a quarter of a marriage.
Yeah. Like you're down to 1/32 at this point.
Like when she said that, it's like, girl, a half a marriage.
Like, you wish, girl. You wish.
Fucking wish.
Because like at best you can get a third at best,
at very best, when Mary's totally pushed out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it wow. Yeah, good point. Oh my gosh. So then he says that he told Christine that he wanted to think about it before they had a discussion. So after she said, I don't want you to be in my bed, he said, okay, well, let me just think about this.
There's no discussion. No. You had the discussion. You had the discussion last week when you said, I don't want to fuck you anymore.
Yeah.
That's the discussion. That's it.
Think about this.
There's no other discussion to have.
No. He cannot have let anybody take control of any situation. Seriously, oh my goodness. Think about it. Think of, what is there to think about? She told you, you're not welcome. Oh my gosh. So Robin's whole family ended up testing negative. So congrats. So then there's a scene of Christine going to St. George for McKelty's baby shower. Nobody from the family ends up going.
Yeah. It is outside. I'll give them credit. Yeah. It was held outside.
And they seem to be wearing masks, not Peyton, but a lot of them.
Well, we'll never wear a mask. He's not a sheeple. And also, as I said earlier, Christine declared that it was not irresponsible because none of them got COVID.
Right.
What? I'm not sure that's how it works, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. So at this point, she says she does not want to be in Flagstaff anymore, full stop. And that the older girls know about it, kind of. Truly doesn't know the difference because daddy's never home.
Truly has never met Cody a day in her goddamn life. She said, who's that man?
Who's the man in the truck who's always yelling? She who's don't
that
know
man with that ugly hair.
The man with the visor who keeps trying to pretend like he's not balding. But I see it. I see the dry shampoo. He always gets dry shampoo and got to be glued on my shoulders, and I'm sick of it.
He needs to go back to whoever did his hair before and get a touch up, a little plug touch up.
I just wish Ariella just get the scissors. Get the chopper.
Ari, it's in your hands now.
Oh my gosh. Give him the mullet. Do you remember clearly have given yourself.
A few years ago, they like made all the wives talk about how much they love Cody's hair.
Yes.
And Janelle was like, I just love it. And I'm like, you probably do, you sick fuck.
She was the one who really liked it long. I'm like, girl, I bet you do. I bet you do, nasty. Janelle really cracks me up. Unblock me, Janelle, please. Okay, so apparently this baby shower happened a few weeks after Christine and Cody had their conversation about him not being in her bedroom, and she says, even though he wanted to talk more about it, I put my foot down. He still didn't get it and said that he wanted to discuss it more, and she said, no, for the fifth time, this was a final discussion. Like, I'm not playing with you, boy.
There is nothing to but what he wants, and Christine knows it, he wants the discussion to be Christine apologizing to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so sick.
I'll be a good sister wife. He wants her to like beg for it, and like maybe he'll flirt with her, but then he won't touch her for another 6 months. He's never going to touch her again. Like,
imagine, just imagine
your husband comes to you and says, I won't fuck you until you're nice to another woman in our life.
I would literally die of laughter. I would suffocate from my own laughs. It would never happen.
And like I said, it's illogical because as far as we can tell, Christine is just as good of a sister wife as Marissa Lamar.
If not better.
If not better, because she raised all those fucking kids. Which Cody apparently had no idea happened because he was truly shocked when Gabe said that. What? He said, what do you mean?
What do you mean? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so Christine says that she realized Cody was going to have to pack his stuff. She was like, I'm looking around my house. I'm seeing all these memories, all of his gnarled hairs around my fireplace and my LuLaRoe pants. And I got to get his shit out because it's just too much for me.
Do you think Christine went on Spotify, fired up a girl power playlist?
Please get out.
Blasted.
You and me.
I am woman. Hear me roar.
Sisters are doing it for themselves, the whole thing.
Full like Pointer Sisters. Yes. 100%. Can't you see that perfectly?
Oh, for sure. Every day is a winding road.
Oh my god, yes.
You know she plays it on the way to St. George. You know she does.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, like she just packs the shit up. Unbelievable. This is the moment where she says, our last anniversary was so sad. I told myself I'm not going to do that shit again. Not going to have another anniversary with this monster. So big up to you, girl. Congratulations.
I mean, thank God Cody finally like pulled the trigger and fucking said it so that Christine could finally leave.
Mm-hmm.
What was she going to do? When she said that, I was like, so what were you going to do if Cody never said this to you?
What do you think she would have done?
I don't know, because the way she says it is like, I made up my mind after our last anniversary that I was outie, but then like we're seeing it took Cody telling her that he didn't want to have sex with her anymore to do it. So like, I don't know. And I get it. Like she's in an emotionally abusive relationship. Like it's incredibly hard to leave. Like she also, I mean, we don't know how religious they are, but like theoretically her spiritual salvation depends on him, which scary. So like there, it's extremely complex. I'm not like criticizing Christine for not leaving, but when she says that, I'm like, so were you gonna leave anyway?
Right.
I mean, you, that should be like, you sound like it. Yeah. But I'm curious, like, why, if she needed Cody to finally say it. Honestly, they like released each other,
right? Oh, I forgot to mention the part where she said that Cody told her that he would take care of her. And she rolls her eyes. She's like, he doesn't take care of me. Like, let's say it, girl. He's not giving you a check. He's not swiping his card at Target for you. Please.
No, they live off her Plexus and LuLaRoe money.
Yeah.
Which, like, there's no money for Cody to give. They get their TLC checks.
Right. That's what he
and
meant.
That's it.
I'll let Robin know when the check comes so you can come pick it up. Like, girl, yeah. I wish she would have just straight up laughed at that and been like, sir, you don't have a job, okay? Yeah. You don't have a job. What do you mean? So she says that her plan for right now is just to keep things like as nebulous as possible because at this point she doesn't know what to say to their kids. And then she starts crying and she's like, what did I do that was so wrong?
Oh, wait, we forgot to mention when she was recording the initial, like, letting us know, there's a moment where she's like, oh, the kids are downstairs. Like, I have to stop. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, that was so real and sad. Like, something about that, like, really tugged at my heart when she said that, because I was like, this is a woman in crisis.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like, oh, it's so sad watching this. I mean, on one hand, it's like, it's cathartic, right? Like, I've been finding these last few seasons very cathartic because it's like, finally, we're admitting it. Now we said it. Like, mm-hmm. Now we said it. And yeah. So on one hand, it's like, it's a relief to hear Christine say, like, I was miserable on my last anniversary and I promised I would never do that again. And I'm not living in Flagstaff and I packed up his shit. But on the other hand, it's like, oh, it's so sad.
It's really sad. And she's like literally in this scene packing his stuff into boxes because she's holding the Sharpie. She's got the camera propped up on a box. And she is like, she's crying harder. She talks about how difficult it is to see Cody be intimate with Janelle and Robin and with the kids. And she even mentioned at some point that her kids told her that Cody's different when she's not around. And so she thinks that she should just be totally out of the equation.
That's really interesting, but also not surprising. Like, I know that I liked my mom like way better when my dad wasn't around.
Yeah.
Like, cause my dad was an asshole that like brought everything down. And like, yeah, I know Cody's the one that's the asshole, but like, I think that when you like kids that are in dysfunctional families know.
Right.
They know. And so it makes sense.
It's sad that they would have to tell her that.
Yeah.
It's sad that she's internalizing this as like everybody hates her when it's really just Cody.
Yeah. I mean, Christine, this like reminds me, like this whole thing is like a reminder of how like naive Christine is in a lot of ways and like uneducated of the world around her, I think. And I don't mean that as an insult, but she was raised in fundamentalist polygamy. Like, yeah. She doesn't have the same concepts of the world that those of us that were not raised in this cult have. And while they have been slowly, like, moving away from this cult for the last 10 years since they've had the show, right? And when they moved to Vegas, really, they've been slow. But even before it, because they were sending the kids to public school, like, I kind of think the show was how Cody was planning on breaking away from the church, personally.
Yeah.
I haven't, like, totally worked out this theory, but, like, the fact that they were, like, sending the kids to public schools already, you know, they were really trying to integrate. I think Cody, like, really wanted to be, like, part of the real world again, basically, after spending, like, 15 years in this, deep in this cult. And, like, I think that Christine, as much as, like, they seem normal on TV, like, it's easy to forget that she was raised in a cult. Like, she was raised in a serious cult. And, like, even though her mom eventually left her dad, and like she obviously by virtue of being a television star has a lot of exposure to the outside world, like Christine doesn't have a lot of experience with divorce and with like a blended family in the sake of like a divorced family, not a plural family. Like she doesn't have like the real world experiences that a lot of us have.
Well, remember, like, in the earlier seasons, they went to do a debate with cast members of that other show of, like, Leaving Polygamy or whatever it was called. And
Escaping Christine, Polygamy, I think.
Yeah. And her sister was on the panel. Well, they did a couple panels.
Her aunt was on the panel.
Yeah, her aunt. But one of the panels, she was like, she had such a harsh stance on divorce and leaving the family. Mm-hmm. And it was just, she was even then like so indoctrinated in that thinking. And last week she said, you know, my idea of what it was like to be in a polygamous relationship was totally different than like the reality.
Yeah.
That's gotta be a lot. Like that's your whole life.
Your whole life. And like, we're hearing her talk and it's like, yeah, like your kids are, your husband that you have a terrible relationship with is different when he's just around your kids, not with you. But like, I don't think Christine is like the context of divorce that the rest of us have, which makes sense, right? Like she was raised in a cult and has lived in a cult her entire life. And I think divorce in her world is like total excommunication.
And the sad thing is, like, anybody would tell her, like, if they're choosing between Christine and Cody, it's Christine every time. And that's evident with how things have been going.
Like, and she knows that in it, like, on some level. But she's in such a raw place and probably so scared. And, I mean, in Christine's world, like, there aren't child custody agreements. And you know what? Like, it's that, like, it is, we have to remember, like, they do live in, like, a kind of a different world than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think she's so indoctrinated and think like Cody's the technical head of the household. So like, I'm never going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, even so far. Like that. Oh, Lord. So, she then says that she doesn't want to be in Flagstaff anymore again, and that she wants to be where people want to be around her. And in a confessional, she says, next time Cuddy comes over, he'll see that his boxes are in the garage, and I guess that's how he'll find out. LOL. By the way,
they showed that flashback again at some point in this episode of Cody being like, sorry, I promise you we can move to Utah. And that still makes me so fucking mad. He set her up so badly on that one. He was like, so let's crazy. Move to Utah. You should present it to the rest of the wives. And when she did, he was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It was like a Shaws of Sunset level of betrayal.
Oh my
like-
God, that's exactly what. Oh my God, Cody totally resed her. Oh my God.
Just let her out there to slaughter.
That, like, I feel like we haven't focused on that bit, like, quite enough because so much has been going on. But, yeah. Like, it is so, he gaslit her so bad with the Utah stuff. And, like, he genuinely was like, I want to live in Utah. And then he's like, I don't really know why Christine thinks that we would move to Utah.
He's like, did you think that we were interested in that? In front of her own wife. Ooh.
Like, that I think, like, I think that the anniversary, of course, but I also think that Utah conversation, like, pushed her over the edge.
Oh, yeah. The light went out.
Like, sure. I think that she probably was, like, finally, like, oh, my God, Cody just, like, set me up.
Mm-hmm. And he did. Mafia style.
Really did. It's so, like, rewatching that, I was like, wow, I haven't thought enough about that, because that was fucked up.
So sick. Oh my gosh. What happens after this? Oh, Janelle announces that Goofus and Gallant have COVID, to the surprise of absolutely nobody. Like, yeah, of course they do, girl. Of course they do. She's like, I think I feel fine, but I'm going to take a test with Savannah, but this cough is, like, fine. Like, I don't think it's anything. Like, girl, okay. Okay, Janelle. We never find out whether or not she got COVID.
Yeah. That she's like, we've been, like, keeping our distance-ish from them. Like, what does that mean?
Nothing. Not a damn thing. So, yeah, we never find out whether or not she got COVID. Maybe it comes up during the tell-all. Then we see Cody in the garage, and he's like, you know, the weirdest thing just happened. I came out to Christine's garage, and here. And he shows us the boxes that have, you know, Cody's books, Cody's clothes, Cody's hair products, Cody's lies, Cody's curly, delusions.
The curly all packed girl up method is packed up in there.
Cody's hair dryer, his brush, his round brush. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, I guess I've been moved out of the house and I'm not sure what to think about this. This is not something that we discussed. Yes, it is. Well, Cody, no, it's not, but it may have well been.
You did this. Why are you even over there?
Why were you there? It's like, truly, like, well, isn't it the consequences of my actions? Well, I am shocked.
I can't believe my wife packed up my stuff after I told her that I wouldn't fuck her. And she said, okay, you can no longer sleep in my bedroom or come to my house. This is so weird.
I told my 48-year-old wife that she was never going to have sex again. And I think she may not have liked that.
That's dark when you think of it that way.
Huh. Interesting. Let's also just, like, reflect on the fact that he, again, did not take the time to go back in the home to talk to Christine or even reflect quietly to himself. He turned on the camera to record his reaction.
The way they operate is just so foreign to me, because I would go in that garage and I would see it and I would spin right on my heel and open the door and be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so, the way that they do not communicate is, it's such a cultural difference for me that I cannot ever understand.
And, like, imagine Christine, I'm trying to imagine Christine or anybody being like, why is he in the garage for so long? Like, who is he talking to? Like, what the fuck is going on either end of that door?
I mean, I guess God bless Cody for filming it, because it made for good TV.
It sure did. Just seeing how confused he was Emmy winning. Daytime Emmy winning, at least. gosh, there will never be a person like Cody Wynn Brown. And we all need to recognize that. So then he notices some more boxes and he's like, well, I guess maybe we need to talk about this now. And he's like angling one of the boxes that says Cody's nightstand, as if he's taking a selfie with a fan. And he's like, I just don't know if I should take this stuff out, because I don't know if it was that serious. And we've had situations in the past where Christina said something and I didn't feel like she was being serious. So now I need to talk to her to see how serious she is, in fact, being. Your boxes are in the garage. Like, what do you mean?
You told her you didn't want to fuck. She told you to stop coming over. She packed up your shit. How many times have they done this? When I heard him say that, I'm like, say more on that. Because as an audience member, I'm confused by what you mean by that. Are you telling me that you and Christine have, like, had brink of divorce, like, multiple times?
It sounds like it. But I have a feeling that it's never really gotten this far. But I guess I could understand if you guys have been on a roller coaster for 12 years, that maybe this wouldn't sink in.
Absolutely. Maybe, but like, it's pretty clear she wants you to pack that shit up and take it to your house, Robin's house, like, where you live.
You could answer your question by asking her, you know?
Hey, girl, you serious about this? Okay.
Oh, my God. I would just be like, I'd be in a puddle of tears. And I'd be like, why? Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I truly cannot believe him. So then he says that he doesn't know why, but he's biffled, which is not a word. And then he says, but I almost don't care.
Because Cody's the victim.
Yeah.
Cody's being wronged.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna you don't care, Cody.
Right. Didn't even have to say it. So in an interview, Christine says that now that she's done this, she feels like she's gonna rest. She's gonna get her head straight. She's feeling great. She's gonna focus on being an independent woman. And she's loving life. Like, her skin is cleared up. Her wardrobe was better. I don't know what's happening. There's a glow to her skin. Her hair is shinier. It's bouncier. Somehow the fabrics in her clothes have gotten brighter after several washes. I don't know what's going on, but it's a total transformation, a complete glow up.
I mean, she went to Oz.
Truly, like, stars around her body, Cinderella style, a brand new bitch. And we love to see it. She says that, like, there are so many uncertainties, but she does know that when Cody leaves, he's not going to be sleeping here anymore. And amen. Amen for that. So then she says that because she's not legally married to Cody, they just have a spiritual marriage and they would have to go to the church through the church to have this release from the marriage. But she mm-hmm. says, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, that's between me and God. Not even
yeah, that to me spoke volumes as to where they are religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, yeah, they're sealed together for time and all eternity through their church. And like, yeah. you have to get an unsealing, but I think it's pretty clear that they're not that involved in their church anymore, that she's not caring about that.
And Heather Gay taught us that she would be, she gave us the levels
mm-hmm.
and that they would be like under, I think it's called telestial or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't get into heaven because you've made promises and vows to the church that you have officially acknowledged that you've gone back on. So it's like not a good look. And yeah, I mean, I do think it's like she's realizing that a lot of her shame is wrapped in this religion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know this wasn't in this episode, but hearing Janelle talk about her mom, like wanting to go home to her husband and Jesus and whatever she was saying, I was like, oh, Janelle really believes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure, like, how devoted she is in, like, her day-to-day, but, like, I think Janelle is, like, a true believer of, like, the time and eternity aspect of plural marriage.
Yeah.
And Christine saying that's between me and God, I was like, oh, she's not there anymore.
Yeah, because, yeah, she's definitely at a point where she's like, I'm not going to do anything that doesn't serve me or makes me feel bad ever again. So
yeah.
why even go through the process in which she clearly is going to be the one shamed in this situation? Like, why do it?
Yeah, from reading FLDS memoirs, it seems like a lot of women that leave plural marriages either get to one of two points, in that they no longer believe in their religion, and so they're able to break away. Or they're so miserable that they accept that they'd rather be going to hell for eternity than spend another minute with
mm-hmm.
their spouse. Like, that is a really common theme throughout the FLDS memoirs, where they're like, I don't even care if I go to hell because I can't yeah. live like this anymore. Yeah. So it's like either one. And I think Christine has gotten to the point where she's like, I don't really believe in this.
No. No. And I saw that when they were at Ariella's birthday, that she had a... the human rights campaign on her water bottle. So she's learning things.
Yeah, well, she's got a bisexual daughter.
Be sure, she most certainly does.
And I think that she's having a real awakening. I mean, I think that we don't talk enough about the fact that the Browns publicly align themselves with the church that's based on white supremacy and have a lot of hateful beliefs. But I like to think that Christine is being accepting and learning and growing in her 40s.
I would imagine so, because one thing Christine's not going to do is like let something get in the way with her relationship with her children. So
agreed.
If only through that she learns, then I'll take it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So the episode ends with Cody saying that he's more concerned about the karmic retribution that may be coming his way because of a divorce, not actually about his relationship or the woman that left him. And then he says that he's not bothered by this, even though he probably should be. And that his first thought is that this is his house and that they never discussed it. It's not your house because your name's not on it. And his second thought is relief.
When he said the karmic retribution, I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, what
the karmic retribution of you like leaving these women completely miserable, demeaning them, making them live in sexless relationships or non-relationships, leaving Mary in some sort of purgatory where she thinks that there's a shot in hell at her getting back with him. Like, what about the karmic retribution of that? Of all these miserable women being left in your wake?
It's so nuts. Also, I mean, I guess it was shortly after that Cody, like, took his name off the house.
Yeah, didn't he, like, wasn't it, like, $10, a $10 sale?
Yeah, like, yeah, like, they did, like, a quit claim deed.
Yeah.
Like, he seemingly, I mean, we don't know anything about their finances. We don't know shit about their finances, but seemingly Cody gave her the house, which I guess is, like, one good thing he did.
The only thing.
only thing. But also, like, we don't know. We don't know. Maybe that was all Christine's money that bought that house in the first place, and his name was just on the deed. You know what I mean? Like,
we can't afford it anyway, so.
we don't know shit about that. But, yeah, when he said that, I was like, what? Like, also, Cody's been talking a lot about, like, his official homes. How, like, he's not on the lease at Janelle, so he can't evict the kids. And Christine can't kick him out because this is his house, not hers. And blah, 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 blah. It's like, this is where you see, like, the real, like, barbaric Cody.
Uh-huh.
That he, I don't know. But once again, Robin was just gripping the shit out of her stress ball listening to this. Like, the fact that, and here's the thing, like, to give Cody the tiniest bit of grace here, which I don't like to do, but I'm going to do it. It's perfectly reasonable that he feels relief that a dysfunctional relationship is coming to an end, right? Like, that is that's a reasonable, like, he does not want to be with Christine anymore. He's not attracted to her. He does not want to have sex with her. It probably is a relief that she's the one that's, like, being like, okay, so let's actually break up. And if he just said it like that, you know what? If he just was like, Chris, like, if he was just like, look, I'm sad. I've been with Christine for 30 years or however long they've been together. And it's really sad that this is ending, but I have to be honest, like, we have not been happy for 12 years. So it's kind of a relief that we both can just, like, walk away from this and move on. Like, that's not an unreasonable statement, but just the way he says it is so fucking mean.
Yeah. I mean, it should give you the impression that it's like, okay, she made it easy for us. So I'm kind of relieved. And, like, it was a lot of stress and, like, you know, breaking up with anybody is a lot emotionally, and I'm a little bit relieved, but he's relieved for himself. Yeah. And there's no, like, introspection outside of that.
Well, he's relieved that she's not pulling a Mary.
Mm-hmm.
God, I can't wait to hear more from Mary on this.
Yeah, he says, I'm relieved from the burden or woe of a loveless marriage. But then he says that he has fear of culpability for his actions and what may have led him to this point. Oh, yeah, you should.
So I think this is where Cody is, like, really grappling with the religious aspect of it. I think that Cody is in a place where he doesn't really believe anymore, but has been a man of faith his whole life, right? And so, like, I think he's like, well, I don't really believe in this, but, like, I do believe in it, like, because this is my whole life. This is, I've based my entire life on this. Because, I mean, before he was AUB, that he was LDS, he was very faithful, you know? So, like, I think he's in a place where he's like, like, a part of me still fears God and believes in this, and I'm kind of worried that, like, I might be punished for this by God, but on the other hand, I don't really care, and I don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he would talk more about that.
I wish he would stop talking altogether.
Sure, me too. But I also really, we needed to get some more Mary in this.
We need a lot more Mary. And I really hope that they hold her DSW shoes to the fire.
I want that lady, whoever that lady was that was doing the interview, being like, so what's up? You cool? Like, do you feel weird that Christine left? Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed that Christine left before you? Harrison hasn't fucked you in 5 years.
And he's not going to.
And he's never going to again. Christine only lasted 1 year. Don't you feel a little foolish?
Yeah. Don't you feel silly?
Exactly.
Stupid.
Exactly, Mary. That sound plays around her all the time.
Gosh, what an absolute banger of a season. I'm surprised that they didn't make a bigger deal out of this being the finale. They didn't say anything about this.
It was last, remember last season too? We were like, wait, tonight's the finale? Like, you think they would be like, finale, Christine's leaving Cody. Like,
you would think. Maybe they're counting part three as the finale, which seems like a bad choice to me, but I'm excited. I am. Do you have any hopes? Wishes?
Yeah, I hope that Cody is as worked up as he seems in the previews, because he seems worked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that Cody is real worked up. I'm hoping that they call Mary out. I'm hoping that, I don't know, maybe Janelle drops that she's left him too, but I don't think that's going to happen. But wishful thinking.
I wonder if they asked any of the kids to come on.
I hope so. I mean, if it's three fucking parts.
They better. They better.
I can't listen to those four dum-dums talk that whole time.
Here's the other thing, is that, like, when you have a reunion, we got to pick up the pace on this filming, okay? Because if we know that you guys... Yeah, we got to catch up in with closer to real time, because this is really lagging.
Yeah, like, they need to be airing the new season in 2 months.
Summer tops. Tops.
Yeah, but even summer, they're going to be 18 months behind.
I can't do it. And it's almost like a real testament to how good the season is, because, like, I don't want to watch things that far behind.
McKelty still hasn't had her baby yet.
Yeah.
Show. That baby's about to be one.
The baby's applying for college, Liz. Like, what are
we... Avalon, New Jersey's taking a trip to the shore. She's living life.
Oh, my God. They're already signing up for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. What are we doing here? Liz, thank you so much. This was a real treat. I'm glad I got to talk about this with somebody. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. So you can listen to me on Feathers My Hair if you like Teen Mom. If you want to hear me talk about everything else, you can subscribe to my Patreon, which is patreon.com/LizExplains. It's called Liz Explains It All, and I talk about all things pop culture. This week I'm doing an episode on the beloved hit Kid Nation, which got one season on CBS, and Children did a Survivor type show. I've done a bunch of Sister Wives episodes. I'm going to do the Beanie Baby doc coming up soon. Right. Yeah, and I just talk about, like, a bunch of pop culture shit.
And it's very good. Almost as good as me. So thank you, Liz.
One day I may be as good as you, Kara.
Could you imagine? Thank you again. Love you so much.
Love you.
Yes. Have a good night, girl. Bye.